Come on, is that your prayer? I owe all to you, Jesus. Lord, you're everything to me. I'm nothing without you, Lord, but I thank you, God, for your love, your mercy, your grace. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for washing my sins away. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing our heart, Lord, for making us new. I owe all to you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I don't ever want to forget what Jesus has done for me. I don't ever want to take it for granted. I don't ever want to think, well, I got here by myself. Oh, no, I owe all to Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, it's great to be in the house of the Lord today, and we're so thankful for all that God is doing. It's good to see everybody here. Welcome to all of our guests. Thank you for joining with us today. Amen. This is our class time, and all across the house, there's different classes going on for different ages. And normally, I don't teach this session, but it fell to me this month. And we are going to look at some lessons that we began several weeks ago on Wednesday nights, but I just felt like teaching this one here on Sunday morning. So if you have missed these lessons about self-leadership, seven strategies to be your best, if you'll go to our website, harvestm.com, you can catch up on the rest of those lessons, but we're going to look at lesson five today. Amen. And let's turn to the Word of God, James chapter 1. In verse 1, James chapter 1 and verse 1. How about that weather, folks? What happened to fall? yes, summer was here, and then now winter is come, apparently. But anyway, we may get some more warmer days. I don't know. Yes, amen. Amen. I will just tell you, here's kind of our philosophy on whether in church and whether or not we have church. Well, we want everyone to be safe. We don't want anybody to get in a situation that you're not safe. But pretty much, if pastor can make it to church, we'll have church. Now, we may have two or three here, or we may have more than that. But if pastor can make it to church, we're going to try to have church. But you make the best decision for you and your family to be safe. And there, I just like to tell, I'm not prophesying snow, folks, but you just don't know. So, and you can look at the weather app on your phone. You can look at it in the morning, and it'll say one thing, and two or three hours later, it's totally different. So you just don't know. I don't even know why we're on this, but I do kind of wonder, Lord, why does he allow these snowstorms and ice storms to come through? Why is it always a Friday or Saturday night right before Sunday church? I don't understand that, but anyway. James chapter 1 and verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Wanting nothing. And so here's our continued subject here of self-leadership, seven strategies to be your best. Today, strategy five is learn from pain. Learn from pain. Amen. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. It's not fun, but we can learn some things from the pain that we do go through. God bless you. You may be seated. I pray that there is a desire within each and every one of us to be better, to be more than what we currently are, to reach for our God-given potential. We all have room to grow. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have room to grow. Turn back to your neighbor and say, I have room to grow. We all have room to grow, but it takes desire and it takes dedication for us to lead ourselves in this journey. And I believe that needs to be the message of this church, that everyone needs to be growing. Too many churches, they focus only on growth for brand new people, for brand new Christians, and we must do that, and we do that. But even if we've been in the church for 30 years, we should still be looking to grow. We should still be looking for that next level, regardless of where we are in our life. Every single one of us should have a desire to be more than what we currently are. And so we've looked at four strategies so far to be our best. Strategy one, we have to discover our purpose. We need to discover how our strengths and our personality and our giftings and all of that works together. And what are we good at and what are we not good at? We've got to know those things. Strategy two, we must accept responsibility. And that's very important, especially in our generation today. People want to just say, well, it's somebody else's fault, or, you know, I can't help where I am. No, we've got to accept responsibility for some things. Strategy three, we must take spiritual authority. If we're going to overcome the giants in our life, and we all will face giants of some kind, but we must have spiritual authority to face those things. Strategy four, we must seek divine favor. Luke chapter 2, verse 52 tells us, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. It's God's will for us as well to grow in favor with God and with man. And so we need divine favor in our lives. The fifth strategy, what we're looking at here today, is learn from pain. Learn from pain. Ooh, it's painful just to say that, just to think about it. But it's a fact. Suffering produces growth. Suffering produces growth. James said in our text today, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When troubles come our way, we're supposed to consider it with great joy. Now, what kind of craziness is that? Doesn't make sense to our world. But it's a principle in the Word of God. If we're going to grow into our full potential, we cannot bypass the developing power of pain and struggle in our life. Now, we don't have to go around looking for pain, trying to find pain. And pain's a natural part of life. Suffering will come. Sufferings will come. Trials and troubles will happen to us. But we will experience growth if we can face it and let God develop us through those painful times in our life. Suffering produces growth. I know we wish it wasn't so. I know we wish it was not like that. But everyone who goes to the next level in Jesus Christ will experience pain in some way. And after all, there's really no better way to be fully formed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, there are some people that in some kind of unhealthy way, they go around searching for pain. They're not happy unless they've got trouble. They're not happy unless they've got drama in their life. And, you know, maybe you know some of those people. Hopefully none of you are here today. But most of us have a very well-developed pain reflex, and we avoid pain whenever possible. If we know pain is headed down that path, we'll make a detour. And a lot of times in church, we get the idea, the false idea, that it's God's will for us to never go through pain. I'm not saying that God just, he does not, it's not that he wants to punish us with pain, but sometimes we will never find God's will, we'll never find God's blessings, we'll never find God's plan for our life if we're always trying to take a detour around painful things in our life. Everyone who wants to live a godly life will suffer somewhere along the way. There's no spiritual progress without difficulty. And we all say, yes, we want to grow. We want to get to that next level for our lives of what God has for us. But the fact is, suffering will likely be a catalyst for that next season of growth that we experience. Why is this? Well, first of all, pain motivates us to change. Pain motivates us to change. As long as we're comfortable, we have no desire to change anything. Oh, as long as we just enjoy things the way that they are and just live it up there and stay right where we've been. But if we're looking for a better future, then only discomfort can drive us to seek that future. I read recently of former Chicago Bears defensive lineman, William Perry. Maybe you know about William Perry. Maybe you'd recognize him by his nickname, the refrigerator, and quite an interesting story. He was known for his smile and his signature gap-tooth grin. And this larger-than-life football star, he may have been fearless on the football field, but in daily life, there was something that William Perry was terrified of: the thought of having to go to the dentist. He was larger than life. He was huge, but there was something about going to the dentist. It terrified him. And so after 20 years of avoiding dental care, Perry had lost most of his teeth, and he had even pulled some of them himself, and his mouth was plagued with infection, and that was until a Chicago area dentist offered to extract Perry's remaining teeth and place screws in his jawbones to attach implants, a service valued at over $60,000. After months of intense work, the fridge emerged with a new smile. "It's wonderful," he said. "It's unbelievable. I love them." After 20 years of avoiding the dentist, suffering from chronic infection, and living with nearly constant mouth pain, what finally drove William Perry to accept the offer of dental reconstruction? It's simple. He said, "I got tired of my mouth hurting all the time." Sometimes we will not seek the better future that is in store for us until the pain of our present becomes too great. Pain is a great motivator for change. Pain is, it's the greatest motivator to change known to mankind. It has far more potential to drive us in the right direction than any other emotion or experience. C.S. Lewis said it this way: "We can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to." Someone once said that if a cat sits on a hot stove, it won't do so again. That's true. Pain is a great motivator. Physical pain drives us to the doctor to get treatment. Hunger drives us to eat. Financial pain forces us to deal with debt and drives us to earn and to save money. Spiritual pain, that pain of guilt, that shame and conviction, that's what drives us to listen to the voice of God in our life and accept His offer of forgiveness and redemption and salvation. And we would make little progress in this world if we never felt discomfort. When we go to the doctor or if we're in the hospital, they have this question they'll ask you. They'll say, "What's your pain level? Is it a 1? Is it a 10? How bad is it?" If it's a 1 or 2, well, it's not that bad. You can manage that. But if it's an 8 or a 10, it's unmanageable. It's unmanageable. Sometimes the pain level hasn't got great enough to drive us to change. And sometimes God sees that and He says, "Okay, I don't like this for you, but I'm going to allow something to get you a little uncomfortable where you are because I've got something better." Sometimes it'd be better for us to say, "Lord, don't make me have to go through all that, but just work on me, God. Take me to the next level. I want to be the best that I can be for you. Amen. Come on, why not let the Lord use that pain, that situation, that trial, that turmoil to motivate change in our life so that we can grow as a result of suffering. But pain motivates us to change. This is just one way that suffering produces growth. Secondly, hardships improve our character. Hardships improve our character. Yes, we learn our best when we suffer the most. There are times that God will allow us to go through pain in order to test and to refine our faith. And we usually can't see this when we're going through it. We usually don't understand this. When we're in the middle, we're usually pretty impatient. God, why am I going through this? Why am I having to suffer like this? But later on, in retrospect, sometimes we can look back and we can see the larger picture about what God was allowing us to go through during our difficult circumstances. And that pain and that hardship, it produced growth in our life. And you look back and you realize that the best times of growth was when I was going through that. It improves our character. That's why James said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you go through stuff. Because the testing of your faith, it produces patience. And let patience finish its work so that we can become mature and complete, not lacking anything. If your pain level is kind of high today, if your level of discomfort is beyond being something that's just manageable, then James says we're supposed to count it all joy. Help us, Lord. But we're growing through it. I know it's not what we prefer. It's not what we've asked for. We haven't volunteered to go through this. If there was an escape hatch, we'd certainly use it. But until we find that escape, let's make use of the pain and let's grow through this. So when we come out on the other side, our character is going to be more than what it is when we went into this. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous or painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, or unto them that have been trained for it. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. It's not joyous right when you're going through it. Just as athletes must exercise to train for a competition, struggles and discipline and chastening is a necessary exercise to give experience. And if we want to be victorious spiritually, then we must be trained. It's not joyful in the short term. No. It's actually painful. But afterward, there is a reward. And it's often said, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. We can't expect to grow stronger unless our limits are tested, and that's often a painful thing to experience. So what's the point? God, why would you allow us to go through some things that are painful for us? Reading a few verses before this in Hebrews 12 and 6, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? God disciplines us because he loves us. He allows us to go through things because of his love for us. Just as any loving parent would correct the behavior of their children. In the same way, I know it's unpleasant at the time, but in the same way, that's what God does to our life when we need it. As parents, if we would never let our children fail, If we follow them around all the time to make sure they never fall and they never have pain, and if we constantly are right there to keep them from falling off that bike all the time, or constantly obsessed with protecting them from any type of pain whatsoever, we do them a great disservice. Because they'll never learn how to cope with real life. Loving parents sometimes allow their children to go through things. It's not because it's pleasurable. Oh, it hurts us. But we allow them to learn and to grow and to become better. And sometimes we get mad at God because He's allowed us to go through some things. At the time, we didn't understand it. But usually on the other side somewhere, hopefully we'll see that it wasn't because He didn't love us. It wasn't that He didn't care for us or because He had forsaken us. It wasn't because He didn't have good plans for our life. But in fact, it was just the opposite. And that discipline and that experience, and it may have been painful at the time, but it was the catalyst for growth in our life. We grow through hardship. This has been the testimony of many throughout the Bible and since the apostles' day all the way up to our time. When we identify with Jesus Christ through suffering, there is an undeniable growth that happens. What's your pain level today? Where are you suffering right now? What is it that is a hardship in your life? What's the source of pain or difficulty for you today? Rather than just endure it as something that you have to get through, why don't you look for a way to grow through it? Why? Why me, God? Come on, that's what we pray. Why me? Why are you letting me go through this, God? Why is this happening to me? God, why? Why me of all people? And that may be a legitimate question to ask, but the fact is, we just don't have the full perspective to understand the answer to that. And so sometimes instead of insinuating that, God, you made some sort of mistake when you allowed me to go through this, think about the power of reframing that question. Instead of asking why me, why are you letting me go through this? What if we asked what? What can I learn from this? What does God have in store for me in the future? What does this difficult situation make possible in my life? What can I do to grow through this? If we can shift our thinking like this, we'll find out that God can and He will use everything in our life to help us be more and help us to grow and become less selfish and to develop holiness and anointing and His calling in our life and to lead us closer to our full potential. Yes, hardship develops our character. And thirdly, suffering brings us close to Jesus Christ. We will meet Him in our sorrow. Whenever we go through suffering, if we can keep the right spirit, it always strengthens our relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you remember Brother N.A. Urshan, former general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church. And my father told me a story of his wife that had gone through something. And she mentioned something that has stuck with me for many, many years. She said, "Thank God for anything that makes you pray. Thank the Lord for any situation that causes you to pray. Thank God for any situation that comes that drives you to your knees in prayer, because you're spending time with the Lord. And even though sometimes things are so painful and it's a hardship and it's a struggle and it's not pleasurable at all, but oh, that suffering, it brings us close to Jesus Christ. And whenever we go through suffering, if we can keep the right spirit, it always strengthens our relationship with Him. Jesus suffered a great deal in His earthly ministry. Isaiah 53:3 describes Him like this: "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Suffering is a central aspect of his life. He came to suffer. That was his purpose. He came to suffer and to die. And so when we suffer, we identify more closely with him. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. When we suffer, we come to know the Lord in a deeper, more meaningful way. And we must always remember that we are not alone in what we go through, because we know that he too has suffered, and he has sent us comfort through the Holy Ghost. We have the presence of God with us wherever we are, in whatever we go through, even in the hard places, especially in the hard places. His Spirit is with us. Are you going through something today that has just about made you want to give up? You just don't know that you can make it any longer? Are you aware that the Lord is with you? God is with you. Come on, he's there with you right now in the midst of what you're facing. And if you will pray, if you will seek his Spirit, he will give you comfort and strength for what you are facing. And he will help you. He will help you to have the grace to grow, both in the mountaintop and in the valley. Praise the Lord. Somebody say endurance. Endurance. When we endure, we will reach victory. The path to success and blessing in our life, that path to growth, that path to our full potential, that path to victory, it leads through suffering. When we run into something difficult along the way, remember, victory comes to those who persevere. Victory comes to those who endure. No trial lasts forever. I know in the middle of it, it seems like, God, this has been going on for ages. I can't see a possible end in sight. Lord, I don't. Why has this lasted so long? But no trial lasts forever. It might seem so, but it will end one day, and it will produce fruit in our life if we stay faithful to God. You see, we're so limited by our finite perspective. We can only see what we can see. We have a limited perspective, a finite point of view, but God sees the big picture. We can't see that. Even if we could see it, we couldn't understand it. And sometimes he'll give us a little glimpse, but most of the time we only see just a small segment of the life that where we're currently at. And until we see that bigger picture, And sometimes that may be far, and it may be an eternity only that we see the bigger picture. But it's hard to get the understanding that God is using this situation for his ultimate glory. And just because we're going through pain or struggles, it doesn't mean that we're cursed of God. It doesn't mean that we've made him mad at us. Don't think that it's something that you can't ever overcome. God isn't necessarily punishing you because you've sinned or failed him. It may just be that he is positioning us for his purpose and his promises. Remember Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. If only we could see what God is positioning us for. But until he shows us that bigger picture, we're going to have to just keep on trusting him. We're going to have to keep being faithful. We're going to have to keep believing that he does have something good for our life, and that he can use every trial, every struggle, every pain, every heartache. He can use every difficulty to set us up for growth. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." God is not surprised by our trial. It didn't catch him by surprise. But he's right there in the midst of the trial. And what we experience will bring a great blessing to our lives and for those that are around us. Come on, endure today, persevere today, knowing that there's something greater in store for us on the other side. Praise the Lord. Ask God to show you the big picture. Ask God to reveal to you just a glimpse of Lord, why am I going through this? Ask if he'll reveal a little bit of that to you and give you some strength to keep on enduring. Praise the Lord. Our endurance, our perseverance, it actually brings glory to God by revealing his strength in us. That hardship that we endure, that pain and suffering we persevere through, it could be a powerful testimony to those around you. Because they realize the only way that you've made it is through the strength of God. This is what allowed Paul to say in Romans 8, chapter 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Would you stand with me today in closing? Besides the life of Christ, there's probably no greater example in God's Word of learning from pain than the life of Joseph. He suffered so unjustly at the hands of others. He was hated by his own family. His own brothers sold him as a slave. Only after they were going to kill him. He was taken as a slave to Egypt. He applied himself and God blessed him. And just when it seemed like things were getting a little better, then he's thrown into prison, falsely accused, and there he rots, forgotten, or so it seemed. Yet through all of Joseph's pain, God had not forgotten him. God did not abandon him. Oh no, actually God had placed Joseph in the exact position where he could do the most good. You see, God had a plan for the world. And in order to bring that plan for the world to pass, he had a plan for the nation of Israel. And in order to fulfill that plan for Israel, he had a plan for Joseph. And all of it was tied together. I tell you, we do not know all the plans that God has, all the plans that we are tied into, whether we realize it or not. We do not know how our momentary time of pain, it may fit into a much bigger plan that God has. And in the end, Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50 and 20, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. We may not be able to understand the big picture right now, but God has called every single one of us to his purpose, and we have a potential to grow beyond where we are right now. No matter what our circumstance might be, God will not forget about us. He will not abandon us, but you keep on believing, and you keep trusting God, and you keep looking for that bigger picture that God has for you. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Suffering produces growth. The very pain that we seek to avoid, it can actually motivate change for the better in our life. The hardships that we grow through can be the tools that God uses to improve our character. And when we suffer, we're more closely tied to Jesus Christ in the fellowship of his suffering. I want to tell you, endurance through things that we go through, it ultimately brings us to victory. Is anybody enduring some pain in your life today? Come on, is there anybody, you on the outside, you may act like everything's all good, but on the inside, you're going through some struggles and you're fighting some battles and you're in the middle of suffering. I want to tell you, your heart is heavy today and you're burdened, but I want to tell you, there could be a hope in the midst of what you're going through. And this pain, this difficult season, it could be just the catalyst that you need for great growth in your life. If that is what this is, then God, help me to learn from this. Help me, Lord, to grow through this. Help me, God, to be developed through this so that I can be more for your kingdom and I can do more for you, oh God. Lord, I pray that you bless us. I pray that you would help us. You see every bit of suffering. You know every trial. You know every circumstance. You see every heart, Lord, that's struggling here today. But God, I pray that you would reveal to us in the midst of pain, in the midst of suffering, Lord, that pain and that situation could be a catalyst that drives us forward into the growth, into the more that you have for our lives. I pray that you would encourage every heart, Lord. Help us to keep enduring. Help us to keep persevering, Lord. Let us keep believing in you, to stand fast in your word, Lord, to trust your promises, oh God, to know, Lord, that on the other side you're going to bring us through stronger and better, Lord, and that you've got a plan for our lives. You've not forgotten us. You've not abandoned us. You've not forsaken us, Lord. But God, I pray that you'd help us to learn from this struggle and help us to grow through this pain. Lord, let it be a catalyst for change in our lives. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. What's your pain level today? What's your pain level today? If it's really high, it could be that God could just use that circumstance. It's not that he caused it. It's not that he caused it. But he could use it in spite of the fact that it was meant to destroy you. God can turn it for your good. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Let's be the best that we can be. Amen. Let's take a 15-minute break and we'll come back here for service, ready to worship God. God bless you.